Welcome back to Matchman Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Luke, who do we have on the line?
Yeah, Matt, we got a number of callers. Actually, we got three callers waiting in the queue as well as a text. But up first in this segment, we got Robert in West Dallas. Robert, what's on your mind today?
Good morning. The first thing I want to say is obviously it's not helpful with Tucker Carlson and other people on the right supporting Putin. The issue that I'm starting to think about is Tony Blinken and his decision making. On paper, he looks like the candidate. You know, he was educated at the Dalton School, at Princeton, at Harvard. He worked throughout the chain in the Defense Department. His personal profile is very interesting. You know, he has Hungarian Jewish grandparents. One was evaluated the viability of Israel. And his stepfather was actually a child at a school during the Holocaust in Poland, and he was one of 900 that survived. So when I look at the decisions that he made, I'm having a hard time squaring them. You know, as early as 1987, he was calling not to exert influence on Russia during the Siberian-Russian pipeline crisis, and instead spending time, you know, improving relationships with Western Europe. In 2003, he called for the invasion of Iraq, which we knew there were no WMDs there at the time. And then, you know, we know Pompeo and Trump had a terrible policy in terms of withdrawing from Afghanistan. What I don't understand is, you know, as CJ was saying, the buck stops there. Why didn't they keep Bagram Air Base? It was a strategic asset, you know, keeping Russia and China in check. And then with his background, with his profile, you know, the suffering that's happened in his own family, how does he square that with Ukraine and not intervening? You know, what if someone didn't intervene in Poland when his stepfather was in a camp during the Holocaust? So I'm really starting to question his decision-making.
I'm glad you raised this question. And here's the deal. I'll share this among us because many of us are Democrats. But I'll tell you what, I question the strength of personality and resolve of Blinken and also Sullivan, the head of the NSA guy. They're very smart. They're very good guys, but they don't have a demeanor that commands respect from adversaries. And I'll give you two examples. And I also think that Merrick Garland is similar in DOJ. So with Blinken and Sullivan and Biden, frankly, early on when Putin was threatening to go into Ukraine, Biden, whoever wrote his speech, said, we will not fight the Russians in Ukraine. He didn't have to say that. You're dealing with Nazis. If you tell a Nazi you're not going to fight them, they will take advantage of that. What you should say is, we will defend every ounce of NATO territory, and we will consider what to do if there's genocide or human rights abuses in adjacent countries. They didn't do that. The second thing is that right now, the Russians have used vacuum bombs, and they've used cluster bombs. They have bombed preschools, they bombed kindergartens, hospitals, apartment buildings, and every country in the world seems to say that these are war crimes, except the United States. The State Department has not called them war crimes. When the State Department is asked, Blinken, for instance, are these war crimes? The answer is, quote, we are continuing to monitor the situation. Why are they afraid to say it's war crimes? You know, every time Putin, Sergey Lavrov, Dmitry Medvedev says, we sure don't want nuclear war, we seem to back down. Of course we don't want nuclear war. But what happens, quite frankly, if Putin after Ukraine says lift the sanctions, there sure would be bad to be a nuclear war. If Finland applies to NATO and the Russians go in, they'll say it sure would be bad to have a nuclear war. At what point do you draw the line? You need stronger personalities, and frankly, Biden's cabinet do not have strong personalities. They do not command respect. Frankly, however, they command more respect than the criminals and thieves in Trump's cabinet. Trump and his cabinet were seen as agents of Russia. So you had a choice between agents of Russia and well-educated, very quiet types. And right now we need leadership. And I'm saying this about my own party. So I agree. And you can't, what's happening is you have news anchors and they lower their eyes. I watched CNN last night. And when she talked about the suffering, her voice trembled. She lowered her eyes. There is a genocide going on. And it's almost as Putin is taunting us. Putin is a sadist who has no human companionship. Sadists get physical pleasure in seeing other people in pain and cry. I have no idea if he sits in silence, fondling himself while women weep. That may be what gets him off. However, for him to continue to say, watch me bomb a children's hospital and have us just monitor the situation, should not go on. Okay, there are other calls, my friend. Who's up?
Yes, up next we got David in Mequon calling in now, Matt. David of Mequon.
David of Mequon, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind?
Good morning. Good morning, Matt. Thank you for taking my call. Really quickly, in regards with, I'm getting a little bit of a feedback for some reason. What's going on, which being missed and not really being talked at all about, is this scenario that we right now are letting the Russians and the Chinese, who are definitely collaborating with this, because we heard about how Russia just mentioned to, I'm sorry, where China mentioned to Russia, wait until after the Olympics to do your little invasion. But back to Russia and China, and to your point with what's being negotiated, I've seen, I'm reading on NPR, National Review, that early part of next week, we're literally going to be making probably the worst decision as far as getting back into the Iranian nuclear deal, where Russia and China are the ones who are actually doing all the negotiating for our behalf, where we are literally going to lift sanctions, the IBM missiles will be loaded up with nuclear missiles, and that we are going to give almost $90 billion to Tehran directly by allowing the Iranians selling oil and by unfreezing assets. And I didn't even know where to start. I mean, it's beyond belief that this is actually going on during this whole situation with Ukraine. I just think that there needs to be more discussion about this, because that literally will put the Middle East on a nuclear arms race where it's going to be, unbelievably explosive.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what, David, I happen to agree with part of what you said. And let me give you some history. Iran is not just developing a nuclear weapon. They're developing guided missiles. And these missiles, unlike the missiles so far that Hezbollah and Hamas have launched into Israel, would be targeted, and you can't count on their being intercepted by Iron Dome. Israel's going to have no choice if they do launch a missile like that of attacking Tehran. Israel has asked the United States for an advanced refueling plane that could refuel Israeli bombers in the 1,000-mile flight to Iran. So far, the United States has not given it to Israel. In my view, we should not give them any money, increase or decrease any sanctions until they let in European inspectors, stop enriching uranium, and stop their missile program. Because at some point, we're going to have to bomb Tehran. You can't have them develop a nuclear vessel and a nuclear weapon. And remember, they have a border with Afghanistan, and the whole area is unstable. Anyway, that is my feeling. We're going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. But Iran continues to shout, we can't let them have a nuclear weapon. We're going to a break. There are two callers. Do not hang up. I will get back to you right after the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Crazy.